Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It has not been warming up at all today out there, with temperatures just kind of staying put. It's 53 at the airport in Kenner now, with a north wind at 14, gusting to 16 downtown, where it's 54 degrees. Slidell is mostly sunny and 53. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on this Black Friday at 9 minutes after 9 a.m. We are happy to welcome in Ian McNulty, who covers New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, and NOLA.com.
Hello, Dave. Good morning. How are you today?
Well, Ian, I am very excited because 1 hour from now, I get to go have my Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yes. You know, that's the unsung duties, you know, people in the news business, you know, working through the holidays, working through the emergencies, you know, I mean, it's been a few months now, but I don't think anyone out there should forget all the effort y'all put in to keep people informed across the whole region after Ida. I mean, that was major. I'm just speaking personally myself. I mean, that we were glued to the station for those updates and reports.
Well, yesterday I had to work in the morning, but the reason we didn't do our Thanksgiving yesterday is that one of my sons was at the firehouse and the other was at the hospital. They both had to work because of their jobs. And so we couldn't get everyone together. So today everyone is off. So we'll have our Thanksgiving meal. Everything's in the oven right now as we speak, and I will roll in and we'll be eating around 11 o'clock this morning. So
when do you decant the Pinot Noir? they're already working on that for you.
hopefully it's already started. So there you go. Okay, there's good. That. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was great. It was needed. It was, it was just family and good Louisiana food and getting together and, you know, it's just like that real kind of family warmth that you want from these holidays. And, you know, we've been getting together. We've been this pretty tight knit family over here, but still, you know, just thinking about it, I mean, we really missed last year, you know, I mean, the holidays just, they were in sort of, you know, drive-by mode, you know,
it was literally for some people I know literally drove by people's houses and dropped off food because they couldn't get together. So,
yeah, that's right. So I'm trying to take a minute to kind of appreciate, these things that once might've been taken for granted as we roll through these seasons, this holiday season, of course, you know, food and drink, such a big part of that, such a strong part of our culture here, such a good way that we convene and share things together in this region. And, you know, I'm looking at the next few weeks taking shape, and I'm excited, you know, I'm excited to connect with some people, to rekindle some of our traditions. And like I've been telling people, you know, when those things intersect with our hospitality spaces, you know, our restaurants, our bars, our hotels, you know, just pack along a little empathy with you too, right? It's not normal times out there for anyone in the business. There's a lot of folks who are new to the business who are just kind of getting their feet wet and new careers in it. And you know, it's a time to go out, to convene, to enjoy, to celebrate, and also, like I say, just that little side dish of empathy goes a long way for people. a little bit of patience, a little bit of perspective.
Yeah, you know? We were talking with Don McVeigh of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses that when you go out to these locally owned mom-and-pop restaurants or stores, that they're really struggling to find enough people to work to keep them open the hours they'd like to stay open. They're working perhaps more than they have any time since they opened their business because they just can't find the help. And they're also dealing with supply chain issues. So they're having staffing shortages and inventory shortages. So, yeah, let's realize at this time of year that it's not easy to run a small business. It's not easy to run a restaurant. So please be understanding with these folks who are trying as hard as they can to deliver the same kind of customer service that New Orleanians are famous for, but it may be a little more challenging to get there right now.
Well, and Dave, on the other side of the coin of that, of course, is just how valuable, like how much we get from places like this. And I just had a fresh reminder of that this week. One of the most popular stories we had on NOLA.com this week concerns Royal China. I mean, the ultimate mom and pop restaurant on Vets. It's right there by Dorniac's, the part of Metairie called Faubourg Dorniac's. And it's been there since 1977. Think about all the stuff that's changed and come and gone. Just even in that little area over that span of four decades. But Royal China has been there the whole time. It's run by Miss Shirley and her husband Tang and their family, and their kids grew up in the restaurant. And the reason we were speaking with them this week is they're finally going to retire. They're calling it a career. And, you know, they're going to sell the restaurant. It's they have a pretty smooth transition plan. They're going to hand over the keys next Tuesday, and the new owner, Miss Ruby, is taking over on Wednesday. But this is a kind of place that's just embodied by the people. You know, if anyone who's if you drive by Royal China at 35 miles an hour on Vets, it really doesn't look like much. But when you go inside, it doesn't take long to see, like, oh, there's some spirit here. You know, it's the kind of place that has regulars. Everyone knows the proprietor. They have their favorite dishes. They joke. They talk. There's that warmth. I mean, that's the incalculables you're just not going to get from rolling through a Chipotle or something like that.
You know, and it's another sad chapter in this pandemic and post-hurricane recovery, where we have seen a number of culturally important restaurants shut down and either sell or, you know, just never reopen. And we have lost some of that fabric of our community.
Well, it's true. And you know, you saw this after Katrina. You know, restaurants that could have reopened, the owners, often mom and pops, families, they took a look around and think, do we really want to work this hard for 5 years just to get back to the place we were the day before the storm hit, or, you know, in this case, the pandemic and Ida? And, you know, restaurants that could have come back and carried on, they shut down, they changed hands, they sold. I mean, there were quite a few of those after Katrina, and we're seeing that now. I mean, it's a generational shift. It's something that's playing out in front of us. Upper Line Restaurant, in business since 1983. We had that story just recently that Joanne Clevenger, the proprietor there, again, somebody who's the embodiment of her restaurant, decided, you know what, I'm 82 years old, she says, and I want to continue this, but it's just the right time to step away, you know? So that's another one. And it's not going to be the last either. I mean, it's a time when people are making some reassessments, and, you know, it's a pivot point of change.
Yeah, but, and the list goes on. You know, K. Paul was the one that started it for me. It was like, that was the eye-opener when they announced they're done. It's like, wait, no.
I mean, famous around the world. Yeah,
of course, you can't do that. I haven't been there in months. You can't close until I can come back and have that surf and turf, and I can get some of that jalapeno cornbread, and I can. But then it was just gone in the blink of an eye, and the list is always, you know, it's going the wrong direction. I mean, we do have some new stuff coming to the scene, but it just kind of makes you stop when we start entering this holiday season, as Thanksgiving is now behind us, and realize that we got to make sure we don't lose too many more of these, because this is what we need to be New Orleans.
Absolutely. Well, here's another lens on it, Dave. Here's another lens on it. Because, you know, for all the struggle and the hard times, there's also a lot of hope. There's new energy. There's new ideas. There's excitement. I mean, it's this whole, you know, two-sided coin all the time, flipping back and forth for this restaurant beat. And another lens on it that we checked out this week is Ferret Street. You know, how that grew into this restaurant row from the absolute devastation after Katrina, and how it kind of presented an interesting picture of the restaurant scene as a whole through the pandemic. So we took a deep dive into Ferret Street, into the restaurant row there. You can find the story on NOLA.com. We visited every single place and kind of charted them block by block.
And ate at every one of them?
Oh yeah, we know. Yeah, when I talk about so this is deep research, Dave.
Yeah, I know. You got to do the thorough job, Ian. You cannot you know, slack on this. If you're going to do a report on that restaurant row, you better taste everything at every one of those restaurants has.
Quite a few bars along the road too, I'm here to say. But really fascinating. I thought I knew Ferret Street pretty well, but until I really went there with a purpose and spent some time there, going at different times of the day. Really interesting. It's interesting to see how it feels in the morning when people are just getting going, you know, at night when dinner picks up. But even like this after school rush, you know, when the high school's nearby let out, all these high school kids come cruising down the street, little packs and gaggles. And
I hope to the restaurants, not the bars.
Not the bars. No, they go to the restaurants. They go to the grocery store for the cheaper snacks. But, yeah, they're lining up for you know, boba teas at the Vietnamese restaurant. They're going for, you know, share some loaded fries at Dat Dog. Really fun. I mean, it was really eye-opening for me. I encourage people to take a look at the story on NOLA.com about Ferret Street, because between Jefferson and Napoleon Avenues, that stretch that's the real commercial sector there, it's 8 blocks long, 32 restaurants, bars, coffee shops along that stretch.
Wow.
And back in 2009, none, until the bar Cure opened. That was the first one. Several followed quickly. Within a couple years, you had a dozen restaurants. Oh, this is really something happening here. And that's what we knew as the Restaurant Row. But like taking a fresh look.
In little more than a decade, it has become the eating and drinking hotspot after it did not exist just a dozen years ago.
Exactly. And a lot of change. Through the pandemic, 3 restaurants along that stretch have shut down and 7 have opened.
So a net gain of 4.
Yeah, not just replacing the ones that closed, but new ones opening. And very diverse. I mean, there's no upscale dining on Ferret Street, which is curious. I'd love to see if somebody could crack that niche. But you've got everything from, you know, home-style Cuban food to upscale cocktails, tacos and pizza of all assortment, study spot coffee shops, specialty places. There's a place where you can get a kolache and a for breakfast, or a really good bagel right down the street from that, or savory pies, little hand pies to take with you in the car, or a whole pecan bourbon vanilla bean pie to bring home. I mean,
vanilla bean pie.
I'm talking to a guy who hasn't had his Thanksgiving dinner yet.
God.
I feel a little cruel.
Wow, pecan bourbon vanilla bean pie. That sounds amazing.
And one reason we wanted to do the story on Ferret Street this week is because, you know, I know a lot of people are in town. This is a big homecoming time. And a lot of people have had a connection to Ferret Street through the years, whether they went to school, you know, one of the high schools nearby, or Tulane or Loyola, which are nearby, or worked at a Baptist hospital, which is nearby. It's been that hospital has been a great anchor for that neighborhood. This is get your relatives out of the house. Just walk down that street. You know, you find something interesting to sample, to, you know, see other people out in the street, do some retail shopping too. It's not just eating and drinking on there. So it was an eye opener to spend some time and really dig in and talk to some people there for the story on Ferret Street. So I encourage people to check it out.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I'm going to go read the story, and then I'm going to go to Ferret Street, and I can spend a week there eating and drinking my way down the street.
Easily. Well, you have 32 stops, so let's divide the meals up there. Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we'll take a month and just do one a day. Moderation. Moderation.
Yeah.
Ian McNulty is our guest. When we come back, I want to talk to him about what's going on outside of the immediate city. You know, after Katrina, we saw a bunch of very popular places move out of the city and into the suburbs. Have we seen any of that happen this time around? And what's happening on the North Shore, out in Metairie? Are we seeing growth or are we seeing decline? We'll see what Ian has to say about that. Also talk more about maybe some suggestions for what to do with those Thanksgiving leftovers. See what Ian's doing with his, and see if he can give you some suggestions for what to do with yours. That's all coming up next here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Hope you had an amazing Thanksgiving and are enjoying the glow of Thanksgiving here into this Black Friday. Those.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I just stuck in my head, Ian. We're talking with Ian McNulty, who covers New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, and NOLA.com, talking about just one of the many offerings he told us about on this amazing row of 32 bars, restaurants, and shops along Ferret Street that have become this must-go-to location for folks who really love to eat and drink in New Orleans. Folks in the burbs, what's going on? What's the scene on the North Shore? What's going on out in Jefferson? After Katrina, we saw some of the New Orleans staples establish, if not satellites, in fact, move out to the suburbs. Yeah. Have we seen anything like that through the pandemic or after Ida as a result of that kind of being areas that people had more money to spend immediately and maybe they thought they could have some success there?
It's not the same dynamic as what we saw after Katrina, but there has been a trickle of that, and some of it is just because of the massive disruption of, and you nailed it, I mean, the pandemic, but then Ida on top of it. One example that comes to mind is a small Vietnamese restaurant that was doing nice business down in the Marigny on St. Claude Avenue. It's called M. Tri Sandwich Company and specializes in those Vietnamese po' boys, the banh mi, the soups, the spring rolls, and really a cool specialty with smoked meats. The guy takes, you know, American-style barbecue meats and brisket, pulled pork, and works that into these traditional Vietnamese dishes. And he was doing a real nice business on St. Claude Avenue, but, you know, the pandemic hits and his business goes away. A lot of his customers were hospitality workers, gig workers, musicians, artists. They were suddenly hard up. Business really, really sank for him. Ida was the final blow, and he decided he needed to trim stuff back. So he found a place in Metairie that, frankly, is a lot cheaper lease. And so he's reopened M. Tri Sandwich Company on Vets and is making a go of it there. I'm excited to get back there and check him out because his flavors are really good. But that's one example. But mm-hmm. it's people are having to reevaluate a bit, you know. And the thing about the suburban communities around New Orleans is they do tend to be have cheaper rents, cheaper leases, which is a big factor, especially for small, new startup restaurants. What they don't have is, frankly, the flow of tourists, you know, the 16, 18 million tourists, whatever it is, that come through the city every year, specifically, most of them, I dare say, primarily to eat and drink. So you just don't get a lot of that in the suburbs. Right. Although sometimes I'm surprised, you know, sometimes people tell me, they really wanted to branch out and, you know, they they heard about a good place in Harahan or something like that. They went to go see, you know, the real nitty gritty New Orleans.
The hidden gems that maybe most tourists don't get to take advantage of. Although, you know, the locals, we eat out around here more than people in almost any other city in the world. It amazes me how people, you know, eat out 3, 4, 5 nights a week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you mentioned the North Shore, Dave. One interesting thing I've seen up there is a little further development of what restaurants can be. You know, they've, let's face it, the chains have been real big on the North Shore for a long time. And then there's been, you know, your long running old school places. But, you know, some restaurants are stepping up with some new interesting ideas and, you know, catering to their neighbors there, kind of keep them on the North Shore when they want to do special events, you know, big dinners out, big special meals. One example comes to mind. It's a big one. Chifuncta's. It's right on the Chifuncta River in Madisonville. Mm-hmm. Chef Michael Gottlieb's doing great stuff over there. I mean, this is high end, you know, luxurious setting, really fine cuisine, great cocktails right on the river. Real transformation for that building that people will remember as Friends on the Chifuncta for a long time. And then on the ground floor, the dock level, is a much more flip-flop casual tavern called The Anchor. So it's like sort of a 1-2 punch of super casual downstairs by the dock and then really nice, literally elevated cuisine upstairs at Chifuncta's. Pat Gallagher opened up his new place on the lakefront in Mandeville. That's Pat's Rest a While, you know, turning this historic complex of old buildings into a modern restaurant, really neat, big patio, again, elevated to a great view of the lake and protection from flooding from the lake. Really nice oyster bar there, nice tavern, just multifaceted. So interesting ideas that people are cooking up there. And one more in downtown Covington, the Greyhound, comes from the same folks who have the Italian restaurant Del Porto just up the street, Boston Street there. And it's sort of a more of a gastropub, Dave, like kind of place you go for flavors kind of from around the spectrum. You know,
small really plates, pizza, tastings kinds of things? Yeah, or?
Sandwiches, kebabs, pizza.
Oh, I do love kebabs.
Kind of this Euro-style gastropub. So, again, it's restaurateurs taking a look around at, okay, what does my community need? What are my neighbors interested in? What are they crossing? What are they leaving this community to get, and how can we bring it here? So, you know, and all those places I mentioned, by the way, are new, that opened during the pandemic, you know, really challenging time to start anything new or to keep things going. But again, it's that fresh energy keeps on charging up this restaurant scene, keeping it interesting, keeping us talking, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Ian McNulty has got his finger on the pulse. Anything you need to know about eating and drinking in Greater New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana, he's covering it for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune, and NOLA.com. What are you eating left? What are you doing with your leftovers today, Ian? I've been asking people since 5 o'clock this morning their best leftover recipes. Tell us, give us one suggestion of what to do with all that food left over from yesterday's Thanksgiving feast.
Invite people over. Have the repass.
Friendsgiving.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, you did it with family. You've got all this good food around. Maybe you got a little time off. You got looking at a long weekend. You know, invite folks over. The weather's outside is supposed to be real nice this weekend. It's, you know, a little chilly.
A little chilly tomorrow morning. The turkey gumbo is for tomorrow morning. I've already determined that.
There you go. We call it, Dave, in my household, we call it, you know, we have Thanksgiving with the family, and then afterwards we call it the Leftovers Lounge. We say the Leftovers Lounge is open. Come on, folks. Bring that half-eaten pie. Bring that square of the casserole that's left over. Bring a couple pounds of turkey in a Ziploc bag. Bring the
So it's almost like a leftover exchange. They bring you their leftovers, and maybe they eat your leftovers, then you eat theirs, so you get a little different experience.
Precisely. Other people's leftovers are better. Let's face it. You know, you've been staring at this broccoli casserole, but somebody else brings over a corn pudding, and you're like, whoa. How do you guys do it over there? You know, and it's fun. It's getting people together again. You know, you've got your half-opened bottle of Pinot Noir from last night. Maybe you got a fresh bottle of champagne to kick things off.
That's the second or third reference to Pinot today, Ian. I'm just saying.
That's a good pairing. It's a pairing wine, you know?
I love that. I love that. The leftover lounge exchange. That's fantastic. That's brilliant.
Yeah. We have a good time with it, that's for sure. And again, it extends Thanksgiving, and it kind of is a nice curtain opener on this festive season that we're entering. And I just want to share my enthusiasm for that with folks because, you know, times have been hard, no doubt about it. I mean, when you guys have to cover the hard news over here on WWL or what my colleagues do at NOLA.com, we've been through a lot. And if we have the opportunity to take our foot off the pedal, if we have the opportunity to convene, to support each other, to, you know, spread our joy and our resources and our spending, frankly, to say it, with our neighbors at our small businesses, that's the way to go. I mean, that's what this season is about, and I'm eager to get in there, man.
I'm gonna let you go and run over to the Leftover Lounge and start embarking again, and of course hitting the Pinot once again. Ian McNulty here on WWL. Always a pleasure to have you on Friday mornings. Tommy will be back next Friday, and I know you will too. Thank you, Ian.
Great, Tommy. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
All right. Ian McNulty here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on this Black Friday 2021, as we really now are in the home stretch of the year and getting ready to put a bow on this year and embark on 2022. It's right there. You see it? You can almost reach out and grab next year now. We're through Thanksgiving. Christmas is right around the corner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.